We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Where are you, Rita? She stepped out. I don't blame her.
They should go after these weapons of war.
Democrats like to say that no one needs an AR-15 for self-defense.
Because I fought for you, they came after me.
Those are all exclusively between Representative Dean Plocker and myself.
There seems to be a discrepancy. You knew why he was leaving as opposed to what your office shared with us.
I don't know anything about this video.
Larry the Downing Street cat at the moment would be a better prime minister.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. You know, I was listening to that soundbite there from the president and the shortlist. I mean, that would be the equivalent of me saying, you know, Denise has stepped out and I don't blame her. I mean, somebody that he was trying to call on in his news conference yesterday wasn't there any longer, and he applauded her for leaving. He didn't blame her for leaving.
It was a good joke.
I'm sure he would have left if he could.
I think he's already checked out, actually, Sean. Thank you. Sean Michael Lyle in with us this morning. Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas, and they're going to get you to work safely. A little bit of rain out there. The worst of it's to the north. But if anything happens, it's blocking traffic. We'll have the update for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. You probably saw the headlines there. Boris Johnson has resigned. That's probably the latest news that has happened this morning. He'll still hold office for a little while till they form a new government, but he's out because they got a whole mess going on over there in England right now. So we got that going on. And coming up a little later, we're going to talk to Chris Arthur Peterson's. Now, she is a former Missouri teacher. She was a full-time teacher until the end of this school year. And the situation through the pandemic and what she watched her school district do drove her to leave her career prematurely because she can't stand it anymore, what she's seeing being done. You can call it the dumbing down of education, whatever you want, in her district. We're going to talk to her about it coming up here. Now, I've talked to Chris on the phone, and here's what you need to understand about Chris. She is not, it wouldn't describe herself as a conservative. I can tell you that. Has not been extraordinarily politically active in any way, shape, or form. She's a teacher. She was a Spanish teacher. But what she's witnessed in her classroom since this pandemic hit, the lack of education being offered to these students, the accommodations being provided just to push them through the system, has sickened her. And I invited her on a couple of weeks ago, and she said that, you know, she'd taken some grief for her Facebook post about it, and she wasn't sure she was ready to do an interview, and then she reached back out and said that she's had enough, and she does want to speak out. So we're going to get her on here at the bottom of the hour, and you're going to be shocked by some of what she's going to tell you. Just let me tell you that right now. I shared a little bit of it, but hearing it directly from her is going to bring this to a new level. And hopefully you're going to walk away with it with these questions. How in the world could any school district do this, number one? And then you should be asking, is it happening in my school district? And there's a really good chance that the answer is yes, but that you just don't know it. Because the biggest dilemma I found trying to do my job and relate some of these stories to you is I will hear from teachers who have to remain anonymous. Because if they speak out while they're still employed, they face all kinds of repercussions at work, right? We don't have a whistleblower act. So if they speak out and want to continue to work toward their pension, their retirement, they have to keep their mouth shut. So I've heard some horror stories from local districts, but a lot of those teachers are afraid to have their voice heard on the radio complaining about these things. Now, Chris has stepped away, so she has the freedom to do that now without worrying about the repercussions in her job. And that's why I'm so excited that we get to bring that to you this morning. Again, that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll talk to my friend Keith Hauser. He's the president of the Patriot Training Foundation, a longtime friend and patriot. And here's what he's doing next. He's been involved with these honor flights to D.C., Sean, and I've followed them. I've interviewed people.
I've talked to a couple of them just over the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Korean War veteran and a 100-year-old guy from World War II who had just come back from an honor
flight. Well, my friend and longtime coworker here in the studio, Denise Schaefer, her dad went on one a while back and talked about the emotion surrounding that for these vets. I get to go on one of these trips next week, and I'm very excited about it. And
to share their emotions with them.
Absolutely. Yeah, and absolutely. Keith made that possible. And we're going to have him on here at around 7:45 to talk about how he got involved and maybe how you can get involved in this, because there are expenses associated with these flights. And we're going to get him on here in just a couple of minutes. So one of the things we've been covering is the upcoming primary. It is August 2nd, which, if you do the math, is 3.5 weeks from now. 3 weeks from next Tuesday, and you can go vote in the primary here in the state of Missouri. We focused a lot on the Senate race, but there are also primary challengers in several local congressional districts. We had somebody on from the 3rd, I believe, when I was out for a vacation. And right now we've got Tony Salvatore in the studio running in the 2nd congressional district, Ann Wagner's current district. And we welcome him into the studio. Tony, welcome in.
Thank you, Mark.
Great to see you again.
Yeah, same here.
We're neighbors out in Wildwood.
Yes, we are, only about a mile away. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Tony, for people who are not familiar with you, tell them a little about yourself. Retired pilot, right?
Yes, sir. I did 22 years in the military, mostly in the Missouri Air National Guard. And then I actually started with Ozark Airlines and TWA, and I ended up with American Airlines in 2015.
Yeah. What motivated you to run against the sitting congresswoman in the 2nd congressional district?
Well, I really didn't want to do. I'm retired. I like being retired. But we have a real emergency in this country, and we have a congressperson in there right now, and Ann Wagner, who takes the voters for granted. She does not put America first. She's not involved in local issues, school board issues, mandates here in St. Louis County. She's never gotten involved. She calls conservatives wacko birds, and she calls the January 6th protests 1,000 times worse than 9/11. And, I personally take offense to that, especially 1,000 times worse than 9/11. Are you crazy? We have our oldest daughter was in the South Tower when it got hit. And that was, we also lost a lot of pilots and crew members in the 9/11 with American Airlines, United Airlines. And, unfortunately, our daughter got out. But, 9/11 you can't compare those protests to 9/11.
No. And I've had those conversations with Ann about those comparisons. And she was there that day. I was there that day as well, and I was on the outside. I was there to witness it as a member of the media, the only member of the St. Louis media that went up there. So I've argued with any of these politicians who want to try to tell me that was some sort of an insurrection or whatever the case happened to be, would be the first unarmed insurrection in the history of mankind, I believe, if that's indeed what it was.
Yes, she said that, there's people out there with guns and knives and, which was totally false, of course. And she really has lost any involvement with the people in the second district here. And now the district has expanded to, Franklin County, Warren County, and further into St. Charles County. And to go on, and somebody asked her, what do you think of your expansion into those counties? And she says, I don't want to deal with those wacko birds. Well, those wacko birds, I'm a wacko bird. You know, I'm a conservative. And I don't think she's a conservative. She just went to Davos. You know, why would you go to World Economic Conference when our economy is faltering and it's, splitting at the seams? I mean, it's just, there's no comparison. Why would you go to a World Economic Conference and rub elbows with the Soroses and the Gates and deal with green energy and, talking about protecting Russia's border? How about our borders? How about our economy? What happened to America first?
It's ironic that you're the pilot and you're saying she's the one flying at 35,000 feet, basically.
Well, I think she's a little bit further than 35,000. I think she's probably around 120,000, even a little bit further up, where there's no oxygen
outer
at
space,
all.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so I talked to her about that, and she argued that you while she agrees there are some crazy people who attend that forum, she doesn't think that Republicans can afford to completely give up trying to have conversations. She said she was over there trying to push for Missouri business.
Well, I don't think Missouri business has dealt with Mr. Soros and the likes of Soros himself. You know, when you, a cup of coffee costs you $1,000 and all that, I think that's not where we should be. We should be with our people here. The people in the second district and all over Missouri, they count. You don't go ahead and rub elbows with the elites. Go talk to the businesses in our district. See what they need. See what would make them expand. Don't go over to Switzerland up in some nice, phenomenal location. I mean, it's like the top of the top, Yeah. And really? I mean, come on, a bottle of water, I'm sure it costs you at least $50 or more. Let's go back to basics. Go back to your district. Talk to the people. She has never held an in-person town hall meeting since she got in 2012. She refuses to. And I asked her a question on Facebook once, and I says, why don't you do it? She says, I'm afraid they're going to go ahead and attack me. Well, really? Are you afraid of your own people? Then don't do it, because the people of the district have good ideas. They may not agree with you, but they have good ideas. And maybe you should talk to the people in the district, because talking to people in the Beltway in D.C., the swamp, is not the way to get together and for the best of the people in the second district.
So one of my big criticisms of a lot of people who've been in Washington for a long time is they tend to fall into one of two categories. They either stand up I'll pick Josh Hawley, for example, or Ted Cruz, who stand up for things they believe in and many times angering their own party, or they go along to get along. Now, you've got a debt calculator that runs on your website,
yes.
I noticed earlier. anybody who hasn't looked at what the national debt is recently probably should, because that's frightening. It just keeps ticking up by the second.
Oh, it's not only frightening, but it is $242,000 per taxpayer. That's what the debt is, per taxpayer. So if you have three taxpayers in the family, you're looking at $750,000, per family. That's the debt. And it goes up. And and to think of what has happened to our debt in the last 10 plus years, it's incredible. It's more than doubled.
Yes. Tony Salvatore is our guest. He's running in the primary against Ann Wagner for the second congressional district. Tony, let's talk about what a challenge that is in our system. I mean, anybody can go put their name on the ballot, but running against an incumbent, you have the odds stacked against you in a primary.
Oh, I definitely do have the odds against me, but I also have the people. I go to the people. I wave at the side of the roads. I have already put 20,000 door hangers personally on people's doors. I've gone to Union, Missouri. I've gone to St. Clair, Missouri, Sullivan, Missouri, Washington, Missouri, Warrenton. I've gone to all over St. Louis County, all over St. Charles County. I mean, I try to make myself, visible. It's basically a one man show. I'm my own treasurer, and I'm also I do just about everything. I cannot. I'm just basically, a bare roots type of candidate. I go and to the people. Their vote counts just as much as a multimillionaire. Yeah. I don't care how much you make. Your vote counts the same. So on August 2nd, make sure you go and vote. And we need to kick these people out. They're elitists, and they forgot who they are representing. And, I don't have the money. I don't have the money. She has multi-million dollars. I'm barely scratching anything out there. But I'm out there. I'm out there for the people. And
It's a free country, but I really wish, I really do wish, there was some rule that that there had to be a debate for these races and that everybody had to participate. Because my guess is there won't be a debate among the three people that I know of running in this Republican primary. They've tried to hold Senate debates, but the front runners look at those as only a potential losing situation for them, and they choose not to participate. We've not had all of the U.S. Senate candidates on a stage together yet that I'm aware of. Because the people that perceive themselves to be, first or second, don't want to risk going in there and doing some sort of damage to their campaign.
Yeah, Ann Wagner will, if she wouldn't even come out and talk to the people in second district, she definitely doesn't want to talk to me. She's the front runner, and she's afraid she would lose in a debate.
Well, there is a warning for Congresswoman Wagner, and maybe encouragement for you from the other side of the aisle. This sounds like it could be an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that she went door to door in her district, a barista, a nobody. She was a campaign worker, went door to door in her district, and AOC won that district, beat a long-term congressman because she did the work. She put in the work. No, she's crazy, but she put in the work. And that's how that happened.
Well, hopefully this will go along the same way. I'm not AOC by any means.
I'm talking about the work.
I agree.
It happened on the other side.
But you have to do the groundwork. But,
yeah.
You have to do the grunt. I was out there in 100-degree weather, waving at people and talking to people, and I don't think Ann Wagner would break a sweat to even shake a hand of one person in District 2.
Well, TonySalvatoreForCongress.com is the website. And, Tony, you're an immigrant. Does that play a role in your desire to serve, or does it play a role in how you perceive things going in this country?
I don't know if it perceives a role. I just know that my dad worked 7 days a week, 12-plus hour days, and I did the same thing at age 12. I went to work with him and in the excavating business, and, you're right, we dug holes, with backhoes and even with shovels. So I learned from early on that hard work pays off. And, coming from Italy in 1958, at the age of seven, it was very stark. I didn't know a word of English. And, I went on to excel in school, and I really put my all my energy into schooling. And I went on, paid my own education in the higher education at Kent State University in Ohio. And I was a freshman during May 4th, 1970, when those students were shot. And that really changed my perspective a lot on life, too. Four killed, 12 critically injured. It was a terrible, terrible day. And then I did end up going into the military. And, I try to make change wherever I've been.
Well, Tony, thank you for your service. Glad that we were able to introduce you to people this morning.
Well, thank you very much. I hope... Hopefully, I'll see a lot more people, and as I wave to them, and I go to as I go door to door.
Tony Salvatore for Congress.com is the website where you can find out more about his candidacy. Tony, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
And thank you for the donuts, by the way. we appreciate it. They stopped by Krispy Kreme on the way in this morning. Very nice. We appreciate that, always. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to the teacher I mentioned earlier and her experience in what's going on in your kids' classrooms. We're going to be back in just a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, coming up next hour, we are going to get Congressman Jason Smith on the phone. Of course, in Missouri's 8th congressional district, and there are some new numbers out from the Congressional Budget Office on what's going on with the price tag on some of the executive actions that Joe Biden, President Biden, has put in place. I mean, when you rule by administrative fiat, because of course you can't get anything done in Congress, that's what happens. Somebody's got to pay the bill. So we're going to talk to Jason Smith about that, and of course I also want to talk to him about this gun legislation that passed, that's been heralded by Senator Blunt and Cornyn and others who supported on the Republican side. Effectively, what difference has it made?
Yeah, and how is it above what Illinois has? I mean, how is it deeper than where Illinois goes, and what are they facing this week?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
well,
I mean, what's it going
to
do?
Well, that's true. I'll be interested in getting Congressman Smith's opinion on that coming up here in just a couple of minutes in the 8 o'clock hour. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Now, what I've talked to you about a number of times on this show is the impact that the pandemic had on our classrooms. Obviously, that was an issue in the last round of school board elections here this spring, and we saw some turnover in some of these districts who wanted to send somebody to the school board who might stand up and put their hand up at a school board meeting and say, wait a minute, I have a question about this. What it did was kind of pull the veil back a little bit, in my opinion. And I've invited, I was reading Chris Arthur's Peterson's post on Facebook one day, and I reached out to her and said, I would love to have you come on and tell your story. And we've got her on the phone this morning. And Chris, thank you for giving me a few minutes. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Mark.
You know, just to point out, you have now stepped away from teaching after 21 years as an educator, most recently there in the Columbia Public Schools, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that was not an easy decision for you, because in talking to you, I picked up on that passion that you brought to your job trying to educate kids. What was the final straw for you?
Yeah, you know, I think that it was multi-layered, and it's changes within the system that are, I would say, focused on academic rigor and behavioral expectations for our schools were the two. No, I apologize. There are three factors. So those two, academic rigor has been almost removed in too many of our classes. Two, the behaviors of the kids are out of control with very few expectations for decency even. And then the third would be, I guess, the aggressive nature of some of the parents who would rather attack and blame teachers for things that really fall into the realm of parenting.
You know, that's long been a problem, because there's the ability to bring discipline to the classroom has been gone for a number of years. I substitute taught 25 years ago in the district that I went to school in Ohio, and I could even see it then, where there was less accountability for discipline problems than there was when I was a student, certainly. And I know it's got to be a lot worse now.
I've spoken to several educators who've been long-time retired who have said the same thing.
Yeah. You know, I know another thing. I know another thing that you brought up to me is, it, and I don't know any better way to describe it than really a dumbing down of the academic requirements in the classroom. Maybe you can explain to people what you saw in terms of a reduction in curriculum and then the change in the grading system.
It's ridiculous. You know, Mark, since our conversation, I've been doing a little digging, and because I want answers as well. I'm a parent. As to why the district is so absolutely fixated on this particular SRG grading system that they're implementing here.
Yes.
And the only thing that I can walk away with is that we are graded, every school district, public school district, is graded by the state. So that would be through DESE.
Yes.
And they during my time getting my master's in education administration, one of the things that we look at and talked about at great length were the ways that your district is measured by academic performance, graduation rates, attendance, et cetera. And those DESE scores mean something, and they also affect the tax dollars.
Sure.
So to have fantastic programs, to hire great teachers and be able to pay them and keep them, you've got to have the money to do so. So those two areas are tax dollars from your community, and then, of course, the money we get from the state and the feds. So to do and bring up some of these numbers, in my opinion, they're finding ways to get more students through the system.
Yes.
Whether they're learning or not, in order to help those things. So one of the big things, and here's some very specific stuff that occurred. One is that we, right before the pandemic, we were sent home in March of, I believe, what, 2020? It feels like it's been forever.
Yes.
And then we started working in the summer in order to prepare for the next year, because it didn't look like there was any way we were going back to the classroom the very first semester. So we were asked, no, we were told at the district level to cut curriculum and redesign it so that we can learn how to teach virtually, teach our kids how to teach virtually, and still keep them forward moving.
And you cut, but they cut curriculum by 40%. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, we did.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
My department, I spoke to the math department, some members of the math department, and they said something along the lines of 30%.
So Chris, so, before I run out of time here, I want to get to, yeah. I don't mean to jump ahead, but I want to get to the NHIs, to the change in how things were graded for assignments not turned in, correct?
Correct. Well, that was the big thing for me. That's when I ended my, I couldn't support it any longer. So we cut the curriculum, and we were told at the end of the year we were not going to be adopting that curriculum back, that we were only going to be teaching the essential curriculum, these fancy words. And I said, yeah. Well, we were teaching the essential curriculum, and we cut it, as well as the next year. So we were dealing with less curriculum. And two, when we started the school year, last school year, the 21-22, we were told at the end of one of our training days, in about the last 5 minutes, that the NHIs and absent codes would be 50% credit, that we will no longer give kids a zero.
Wow.
That's what I said. So I ran the numbers on paper, and that means a student earning a 30% traditional is now going to get 60% and pass the course and earn credit. Now, any student that earns credit for a course can proceed on to the next level.
Right. Unprepared.
That's with 30% maybe of the knowledge. I had a study hall, and my job was to look at kids' grades and support them, lead them to tutors, help them, guide them, etc. I had a student who had a 19% real grade, but really because of the NHI factor, she had a 63%.
So she passed.
Oh yeah.
So in other words, you were a Spanish teacher, correct? Are a Spanish teacher. Yeah. You're an instructor in that. So that would mean passing somebody out of Spanish 1 and into Spanish 2, which is considerably harder, completely unprepared for what's coming up.
Yes. And the other factor is we're taught, Mark, in education that we've got to meet our kids where they are.
Yes.
Well, what that means essentially is we have to deal with their level and try to bring them up. Well, there were a number of situations where a very talented athlete would end up in my Spanish 2 class with zero foundation in Spanish 1. And I was told if they didn't pass my class, they would no longer be able to play their sport and potentially lose the ability to play at the college level. So, I was given a level of expectation or stress or what have you to get these kids to that level, and no way to really do that, avenue. And generally, these kids that perform at the lowest level are kids that don't engage in the process of learning.
Wow. Chris Arthur Peterson is my guest. She's a teacher who just decided to step away from the profession because of some of this. Chris, I am up against the clock here, but I do want to ask one final question. For people in my listening audience who clearly aren't in the Columbia public school system, do you have any knowledge of, or do you suspect that some of this same stuff is going on in our local districts here?
Oh, there's without question. Absolutely. Absolutely. The biggest thing, Mark, is that people are not supporting teachers. We have families that aren't supporting teachers. We have districts who aren't supporting teachers. And then they're not paying attention at that upper district level. And I believe that the district often makes the conversation murky to make it difficult for parents to understand what's really going on.
To challenge it, yeah.
Correct, in order to challenge it. Because my post, Mark, was because I was telling people in my world, in my personal community, that I was leaving something that many of them knew me through.
Right.
I didn't ever mean for that post to go viral as it did. So I was happy and alarmed all at the same time that people cared. I was happy they cared, but I was also alarmed at the attention that my community was going to give me, because I don't want the personal attention or the negative attention. I want our community to show up at school board meetings, and I want them to ask what's going on. I want you to ask your teachers to see what's happening.
Sure.
We can't be everything. There's a very intense imbalance where the teacher is expected to do everything and the kids and the families have very, very little responsibility in that relationship that really only works when both are engaged.
It's true. Chris, you know, I think I appreciate you speaking out, and I'm sure that your post went viral because there are so many educators who have experienced this but who are still teaching and can't afford to have their voice heard for fear of repercussions. So thank you so much for giving me some time this morning on the radio.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate
you. Yeah,
you're doing
a great service for everyone in the sound of our voice this morning, and we certainly appreciate it. Yeah. Chris Arthur Peterson's there, and she was a teacher in the Columbia Public Schools there in Rockbridge until just the end of this last school year when she stepped away for the reason she just explained. Let me get to a quick break here. 314-241-9797. Yeah, that last segment ran a little long, but I thought it was important to hear what Chris had to say with her experience in the classroom. Let me get to Ann Maloney, who's calling in here. In fact, they're running for state rep in the 114th District. Ann, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mark. And it's an exciting day for all of us in the state of Missouri. I've been selling education systems here as a sales manager for the last 3 years. And I've been exposed to a lot of the fraud, corruption, a lot of the frustration of the teachers and educators in the state. And that's one of the reasons that I'm running for state rep in the 114th district, because I'm going to be one of those candidates that's going to flip it over for us for school choice in the state. And this is a big deal. There's several seats, and our voters need to pay attention. If your candidate in your local state house or state senate seat is a pro-school choice, you need to get active for them, because we're going to have real change in Missouri with this election August 2nd, if we can figure it out, right?
Yeah, that's true. And hopefully, you know, this recent Supreme Court decision helps out with the school choice and vouchers and the like.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been involved with the voucher system since, you know, 50 years ago when May and Martin Dugan and Woody and Lucille started the Citizens for Educational Freedom.
Yeah.
And the voucher system. Those are good folks. And Herman Kriegshauser and Blanche. And they did a lot of grassroots effort. And they really paved the way for us. And now here we are at the tipping point. And this is just an exciting thing. I have had 7 children serving in the United States military, Mark.
Wow.
And now it's mom's turn to serve. And so here I am.
How can people find out more about you?
Go to Motivators for Maloney, MOLONEY.com, or you can check out my Facebook page, Ann Maloney for State Rep.
All right. And good luck. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. Next hour, Congressman Jason Smith. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.